Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Last Wednesday night I started a message on moving up instead of giving up. And I want to continue on with that tonight. Moving up instead of giving up. Look at your neighbor, say, don't throw in the towel. Just move up. Amen, amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, if you're here tonight for the first time, let me just say welcome. God bless you. We are elated to have you. I think that we've got one of the greatest churches in not just the county, but I believe in the world. And despite, go ahead, give yourselves a hand. Despite and in spite of the lead pastor, the rest of our pastoral staff is incredible. Amen. Come on, give them a hand. They're incredible. Hallelujah. But we're still praying for the senior pastor, so the lead pastor. And but the Lord's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel like I'm missing something. I'm supposed to be saying something, but I don't know what it is. So I'll just start. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You know, I don't know about sometimes what you do, but sometimes I pray for myself. I don't know if you've ever been at that place where you ain't fit to be around nobody else right now. I know y'all don't ever get there. But sometimes I have to lock myself away for other people's protection. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That I just kind of get away and, you know, I don't need to deal with nobody. And you know it's bad when my wife calls the secretary and says, don't give him no more meetings this week. He can't, he ain't good for nobody. So I know during those times that I have to lay hands on myself and pray where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Like I said, I started this message last Wednesday, and I read a friend of mine's post today, who's a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, and he's a pastor, and a good friend of his gave up on ministry this week, and it just further showed me that this is an element that you and I need to talk about, that instead of giving up, just move up. And because giving up is not something that is new. Let me say this to you. Giving up becomes a habit. But so does winning. Winning becomes a habit. If you ever get to win, if you ever start winning, if you get a few wins under your belt, man, you start enjoying the wins. And I don't know about you, but God's called me to be a winner and not a loser. Amen. He called me to be more than a conqueror. I'm an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. I'm a winner. I'm going over and not under. Can you say amen? So in the book of, I read you the first verse, which says the Spirit of the Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not, underline that, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Lord, bless the reading of your word, and in the name of Jesus, I give you praise. I read this to you last week. I want to do it one more time in case you wasn't here, and I won't go over the whole thing I preached last week because that was 45 minutes. So I want to read this letter to a congregation from a pastor who said, "Why are you," and this was to the Lord about his congregation. He said, "Why are you treating me this way? What did I ever do to deserve this? Did I conceive them? Was I their mother? So why dump the responsibility of this people on me? Why tell me to carry them around like a nursing mother? I can't do this by myself. It's too much. All these people, if this is how you intend to treat me, do me a favor and kill me. I've seen enough. I've had enough. And let me out of here. And that's really, and it is a letter of a pastor, but it was hundreds of years ago. It was a letter from Moses to God about the children of Israel. I mean, you know, there's a guy in a group that is part of our small group, and he came to me not too long ago. Well, he's come to me many years ago. He's been doing it a long time. He said, "Pastor, I have a newfound respect for you." I go, "Thanks." He's got like 15 people in his group. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You can't please anybody." He said, "I can't please 15, much less 600. I go, "Well." I said, "Well, you just got to please God and let God sort them out." Amen. That's what you have to do. You just kind of let God sort them out. But we talked about that there are four pressures, and there are probably more, but four pressures that we need to press past to defeat the temptation to throw in the towel. And y'all know how my mind works. It's not right. It just kind of kicking. And I just remembered what I was going to say earlier. And I told you I don't remember. I was supposed to say something, but I can't remember. Now I remember. Amen. Next Wednesday night, we'll be in revival with Bishop Ziegler, but we're going to reserve this section so you can have a whole week to be mad at me. We're going to reserve this whole section here for the youth because they're going to come in and they're going to be a part of the service. Well, Lord, Pastor, no, because they have almost 100 kids in the back. Come on, somebody. So we will have our normal kids service and church over on Wednesday night, but we want to bring the youth in. I don't want your kids or my kids to grow up without seeing the Pentecostal power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So now don't get me wrong, they do it back there. I mean, you can walk back there and there'll be a slain in the spirit all over the place, speaking in tongues, stuff like that. But we want them to be a part of that. So we want them to be able to sit together, so we'll reserve this whole section. So go ahead and start spying out where you're going to sit next Wednesday night. Amen. Hallelujah. And what about your seat? You heard what I said. Don't make me come back there. And all right, so four pressures you need to press past to defeat the temptation to throw in the towel. And the first one, and we spent all of last week on, was relationship issues. How many knows that many of our issues come from relationships? I don't have any trouble with God. My trouble comes when God throws people in the mix. When I have to deal with EGR people, extra grace required folk. How many know what I'm talking about? How many sit next to somebody? Don't point. But you have to deal with them. They just, I'm from the South, and so if you're from the South, you get to say bless their heart. And if you say bless their heart, you can say whatever you want to them about it. It really don't mean anything because it's just, bless their heart. You can go, that's an ugly baby, bless its heart. It don't mean anything. Because that's what we Southerners are able to get away with that. So run through this with me real quickly, Broderick. The nature of sin is that it separates and isolates, therefore positioning us in a predicament in which we were not designed to live. God didn't design you to live by yourself. He designed you to live with other people. And that's why some people want to get away from everybody and live. But that's not what God called us to do. God called us to be a light in the darkness. He called us to be in the world, but not of the world. Can you say amen? All right, so without relationships, we go crazy. And sometimes with them, we go crazy. All right, come on, help me. Church relationships, we dealt with that. Marriage relationships, parent relationships, children relationships, work relationships. All of these put pressure on us, and where there are edges, people can get cut. And we only get cut by the people we love. The deeper the relationship is, the more painful the difficulties are. If somebody you don't know doesn't like you, you might not like it, but you go, so what? You don't know me. I mean, I get that all the time, because people judge our church and they've never been here. And people judge me and they don't know me. And people judge, I've been called all kind of things. Let's see, I'm a name it and claim it preacher, and I am. I'm a word of faith preacher, and I am. I'm a holiness preacher, and I am. I'm a Pentecostal holy roller, and I am. I don't know what else they want to say bad about me, because if it's in the Bible, I am that. And if I'm not that, I want to be that. Amen? I want to be it all, because the Word of God is true. Can you say amen? All right, so the bottom line is that we were created for relationships, so accept it and work through them. You got to work through them. Well, I'm just not going to deal with people. No, then you're not going to please God. The way that you treat people, the way you interact with people, gives us a clue into your relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Listen, if nobody likes you, more than likely neither does God. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But if nobody likes you, that is a good indicator. You know, well, bless, you know, how many of you ever heard? Don't point at them if they're here. Well, bless God, this is who I am, and you just have to like me or not like it. I don't give a rip, and you can just take me like I am, or blah, 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 blah. No, that's not godly. That's not what God wants for you. It's called people skills, not people gifts. That you can learn how to get along with people. You know, I said this about my brother who's passed away now. I said, if you can't get along with my brother Wayne, then you can't get along with a fence post. Right? Because he was just good. All right? Now, let's talk about the second area of pressure. And that is discouraging, critical words. Now, there are many people who have said, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You're an idiot. Because words kill people. Words leave scars long after physical scars have healed and physical wounds have healed. Those words leave festering wounds that stay with people a lot of their life until they are covered by the blood of Jesus and covered. And you still got to continuously cover them daily by the blood of Jesus and by positive words over your life. Can you say amen? Now, if you read the entirety of 2 Corinthians, you discover that Paul had to deal with a lot of negative, critical things that were being said about him. His apostleship and courage was called into question. But yet, here's what he said in 2 Corinthians 4:1. He said, but we do not lose heart. You cannot quit just because somebody said something about you. All right? You cannot give up just because somebody said something about you. You are not, hear this, Pastor. You are not what people say you are. You are what you answer to. You are what you answer to. My wife taught me this many years ago, that you can go around and try to chase down every rumor that's ever been spoken about you, and you'll never get it down, or you can just outlive it. You can just outlive it. Live above it. You know, I had somebody, and he's dead now, but we became good friends. And matter of fact, I won't call his name, but he's passed away now. And he came to our church, and I had been here about 3 or 4 or 5 years, and he knew me, but he didn't know me. And here's what he said to me when he started coming to our church, and then he had been in our church about a year. He said, you know, Pastor Ronnie, he said, I've watched you in different scenarios. I've watched you in business meetings. I've watched you in social settings. I've watched you in just, you know, just sitting around chilling. He says, and I was told that you were the most arrogant man on the face of the planet. He says, and I believed it. He said, but now that I've got to know you and see you, you're not. You're confident in God, but you're not arrogant. And I go, that's exactly right. But because of what he heard, now, and I knew what had been said to him, and I could have chased it down. Hey, what's so-and-so say about me? It don't really matter. I just live above it. And if you can live above it, eventually people are going to understand. No, that's the real deal. Or either, you know, right, hey, good or bad, they're going to get to know you, right? So, in the book of Revelations, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. That's what he's called, the accuser of the brethren. There are demonic powers at work when accusations start being hurled around. Now, that, you know, well, Pastor, you just don't want to say bad about nobody. No, I'm just saying you got to be careful. I'm not talking about stating facts and things like that, but you got to be careful. You know, there are some people that I'm very hesitant about. But what you've got to do is you've got to let them their own merit, not just from what people have said. You know, here comes a word that we don't use a lot in the church world, and call it discernment. That, you can meet some people sometimes and go, man, something just ain't quite right there. I can't put my finger on it. But you know, boy, you just got to be careful of that person. And let me just tell you something else, guys, that our wives is a great source of discernment. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to other women. Uh-huh. You know, because we're oblivious. Oh, you just jealous. You don't need to be jealous. No, you need to listen to what your wife says. Call it woman's intuition. You better listen. The Lord uses your wife. Now, women, the Lord uses your husband too. But listen to one another. There are demonic powers at work. We need to realize that we reflect the nature of the devil through our fallen nature when we start accusing people with no reason. A word negatively spoken can leave a gaping wound that can become infectious. I mean, there are people who are not in church today who have thrown in the towel just because something was said. Now let me help you. You know, the Bible says in Galatians 6 that if you see your brethren overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go and restore him to the faith, and be careful so that you do not succumb to the same temptation. Right? But now, here's what I want to reiterate. If you see your brethren, if you see somebody you have a relationship with, you can't just tell everybody. God didn't call you to be the police. God didn't call you to be, well, bless God, I know my ministry. My ministry is to set everybody straight. That ain't your ministry. That's not one of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. It don't work that way. But you got to make sure that you are in relationship with somebody if you are going to try to help them and correct them, right? Well, Pastor, that's why just people get mad. That's why I ain't in a relationship with nobody, and that's why nobody can tell you nothing. You see, it works both ways. You need your neighbor, and your neighbor needs you, because iron sharpens iron. You know, that's what the Word of God said, that the old should teach the young. That's why Brother Cash is still teaching me, because I'm young and he's old. But that's what the Word of God says. And so we need to let iron sharpen us, but you can't do that if you're just by yourself. And listen, let me tell you this. Give people the opportunity to grow and to fall. You know, we don't, bless God, if you fall, we're just going to write you off. No. Restore them to the faith. Help them back up. Because aren't you glad that people didn't give up on you when you fail? Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't give up on you when you fail? Oh, well, I didn't fall. Well, you just lied, so there you go. Thank God that God didn't give up on you and God didn't give up on me. You know, when people have these words spoken over them, if you're not careful, it can rapidly spread discouragement throughout your entire soul. I like what one goalie said. I'm not a big hockey fan, but a hockey goalie said this. He said, how would you like to have a job where every time you made a mistake, a big red light went off behind you and 10,000 people booed you? I mean, you got to be secure in who you are if you're going to be a hockey goalie. Now, Let me ask you this question. Has someone spoken something to you that has debilitated you? And I hate to say this. I've done that before. And I've told this story, but it fits so well. We were running about 150, 175 in our church, the little church next door. And we were over there, man, we were having church, and it was on a Sunday morning. And 2 people that I didn't even know came to church, and, you know, they sent me a little note in the offering. So I'm like, oh, praise the Lord, they sent me a note. Oh, I didn't get to meet them. Oh. And I opened it up, and the note said, you know, if you'd calm down, you might could grow this church. All that hollering and jumping and spitting on the first 3 rows is not necessary. And you know, I didn't even know them, but man, it just crushed me because I wasn't used to that. So it just it crushed me. And thank God for Bill Gwaltney, because Bill Gwaltney come into my office. He goes, "What's wrong, Pastor?" I go, "Man, look at this, man." And he goes, "Oh, wow." He's a, and he balled it up into a trash and threw it in my trash can. I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "They don't know you. They came here. Why are you going to let them affect you?" He said, "Pastor, did you forget there was over 150 people there really enjoying what was going on?" He said, "This just might not be the church for them. Let them go to wherever they want to go." And I go, "Yeah. Can't everybody be cool? They'd probably cramp our style if they started coming here, the punks." And, but you know what? The next week, Bill came to me again, and he said, "Pastor," right before service, he said, "Pastor, don't let what those two people wrote to you affect you today." And you know what? I was in deep down, I was letting it affect me. Why? Because we do care what people say. But if you're not careful, you'll let what people say put you in the ground. And God didn't call you to go to the ground. He called you to go to the mountain. He called you to come up. He called you not to stay in the mire and in the muck, but you come up from where you were to the place where He's calling you to be. Can you say amen? So we understand this. You know, somebody spoke something to you that stole momentum from your life, that caused you to want to give up. So, if so, our text says, renounce those words. Verse 2 of chapter 4. Paul said he renounced the hidden things of shame. And when you renounce, means to cast something aside and not agree with it or give it a place in your life. I'm going to say that again. To renounce means to cast something aside and not agree with it or give it a place in your life. Have you ever had anybody talk you right into something that you didn't feel? I was a pastor in Blountstown, and my wife, I came home after service, and my wife said, "Honey, you feel all right?" I said, "I feel fine." "Why?" She said, "Your color don't look good." I said, "Well, what color is white?" "Yeah, what do you mean?" She goes, "No, you just don't look like you feel good." And I went, "Well, you know, come to think of it, I don't feel 100%. And I'm before the Lord, before the day was over, I was in the bed eating chicken soup. Because my wife believes chicken soup cures everything. You stomp your toe, you need chicken soup. Amen. You got a bad day at the office, chicken soup. It cures it. But I let her. It's because I put so much value in what she says. How was that a recovery? That was good, wasn't it? Yeah, that was good. But I let her get me right into the sick bed by what she spoke over me when I didn't feel nothing. But I begin to agree with her. How many times do we agree with somebody when we should renounce it? You know, you ain't got to be all mean about it. You know, sometimes you got to be. I remember when we were, some of you will remember this. We were looking to relocate the church or build a new church. We were out of room, and we were over at the Methodist church. You'll probably remember, you know what I'm talking about. So we was at the Methodist church, and we were looking at this church, and we took the whole congregation. Not the Methodist church. There was another building. Nope, it wasn't. It was the place over there behind Village Inn. Remember that one? We almost bought that area. You remember? But we was back there, and we were looking at it, and this, you know, we had probably 100 people on a Sunday night. We was in there looking at everything, and this one lady, bless her heart. Here's what she said. She said, "Well, Pastor, what happens if we spend all this money and come into this place and we don't grow?" And I go, and I, in front of everybody, I didn't mean to, but it just come out of me. I said, "I just openly rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to have that or hear that, because if we're not going to grow, why don't we just go ahead and shut down now and go home?" Easter explosion. Easter explosion. We was believing God for 1,000. We had 3,500 show up. We were not ready for that. Woo! My God. But I'm just saying, you cannot allow people, you know, I'm not talking about a good wisdom. I'm not talking about people who speak life into you and speak wisdom into you. You need, how many of those folks that they need somebody around them to keep their feet on the ground? Because their head is in the skies, right? I mean, come on. You know, you get up, just because you get up at karaoke and sing, oh, I'm going to make it big. No, baby. No, baby. No. Just because somebody made you an album, that don't mean you can sing. They just took your money, that's what that is. All right? So renounce it. Instead of believing the lies of the enemy, choose to believe the truth of God. And here's what many of us do, is we put more stock into what people say than what God says. What does God have to say on it? What does God say on the situation? What does God say to your situation? Here's the bottom line, and some of you are not going to like it. If you're breathing, you will be criticized. If you're breathing, you will be criticized. And let me give you this story that my pastor told me about if you try to please everybody. There was this donkey named Heine, and he was leading him down the road, and his little son was with him, and they passed a group of people, and the group of people go, well, Lord have mercy. Look at that man pulling that donkey, making that little boy walk. That little boy could ride on that donkey. Well, he heard him, so he put the little boy on the donkey. Put the little boy on Heine, the donkey. Went a little bit further, past somebody else. They go, well, Lord, look at there. That young boy, he's got so much energy. That old man ought to be riding on that donkey. So he heard him. So he got down. He took the little boy, put him on the ground, and made the little boy walk. He got on the donkey. They went a little bit further. They go, my Lord. Look, that donkey could carry both of them. I don't know why they're making one of them walk. So sure enough, he took the little boy, put him on the donkey, and they walked a little bit further. And then they got a little this other group of people. They go, well, Lord have mercy, that poor old donkey. Look at it all sagging in the middle. They ought to be carrying the donkey. So the little boy and the man got off and tried to carry the donkey named Heine. And then they went across this bridge and they stumbled and they lost their footing and Heine fell and died. The moral of the story is if you try to please everybody, you'll lose your Heine. And there's some truth to that. You can't please everybody. Right? You can't please everybody. Yeah, there's another version of that story I'm not going to say. But you get the gist. The truth is, if you're breathing, you'll be criticized. Let me go one further. If you're dead, you're still going to get criticized by somebody. Uh-huh. How many of our forefathers we still criticize? I'm criticizing Adam. I'm going to criticize him tonight. When I get to heaven, I'm going to punch him in the face. I mean, come on, we had it made. I mean, come on. We had it made, and he messed it up. I'm going to jack slap him. Don't give up because you get criticized. Your critics will just be justified in what they have said about you if you give up. You know, I was a part of this organization, and my wife would always tell me, goes, Ronnie, why do you even go there? They you know, you always come home mad. Why do you even go there? They you know, I think half of them don't even want you there. I go, because I'm not going to let them win. They're going to have to look at my mug. You think Reed's coming back? Yep, I'm coming back. You ain't running me off. All right? Number three. Another area, the mediocrity of the mundane. Later in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds his readers that he knew what it was like to deal with day in and day out with the perils of life and ministry. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how holy you are. Everybody deals with mediocrity. Everybody deals with the mundane. Stuff you got to do. Amen? You got to do some stuff. I don't care how much money you have, how much money you don't. Everybody's got stuff you got to deal with. Listen to what Paul wrote in chapter 11 as he addressed those criticizing him and questioning his credentials. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 20. Here's what he said. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant in stripes, above measure in prison, more frequent in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I was suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils of the city, in perils of the wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of, among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Whew. And beside those things which that are without, that which has come upon me daily, the care of the churches. What is he saying? He's saying the same things that you and I say. All of the stuff that we deal with. Well, you know, some of us go, you know, well, bless God. If I could just, you know, if I had a job at the church, I could probably. No. We deal with stuff too. I don't care who you are or what you do. You're going to deal with stuff. You deal with the mundane. Not everything in ministry is, oh, oh. No. It's stuff you got to deal with. Why? Because everybody deals with people. Right? All right. The words, that weariness of the mundane speak into your ears. Here's what some words that the weariness of the mundane speak. The work is never done. Did that ever come to your mind? The work is never finished, and I just can't do it anymore. How about if you're on a quota? You finally reach that quota. Woo! Then they come to you, and the next week we need you to do twice that. Right? It never ends. There are always problems to solve. It seems that there is always more demand than I can stand. How about this one? Here's one. I'm empty. I don't have anything left to give. These are signs of burnout. These are signs of giving out without taking in. Though from a secular source, I want you to listen to this. This is from a secular source. List 5 signs of job burnout found on careerbuilder.com. And I think they tell us about something that burnout even is, not just a job burnout. Number one is this. Sign number one, your coworkers are walking on eggshells around you. Signs of job burnout. And you know it's bad when you ain't the boss and they still walk around on eggshells. Because I don't know which personality came to church or came to the office today. Right? If you find yourself becoming cranky, be careful. Just look straight ahead. Don't look at nobody. Just look straight ahead. If you find yourself becoming cranky and irritable with coworkers you used to get along with, it may be more than just typical interpersonal dynamics. Sign number two, you come in late and want to leave early. Uh-huh. Let me see. I think that also goes to coming to church. I have people come to church late, leave early, and complain they don't know nobody. Well, you know, in a setting where we are right now, it's not a time of meet and greet. Right? You used to wake up in the morning excited for another day, but now every day you dread heading to the office. Once lunch passes, you start watching the clock, counting the minutes to the end of the day. This is from a secular. Might be a sign of job burnout. Sign number three, apathy replaces enthusiasm. You feel no motivation, no sense of accomplishment, and have no desire to be challenged. Those who have burned out lose their motivation to perform, as well as their feelings of pride for a job well done. Because you get burned out, whether it be from emotional or even physical. How many knows that when you get tired, work gets sloppy? Where am I at? Number four, you've lost camaraderie with coworkers. You're no longer interested in the company network. You used to go to lunch and participate in other company functions, but now you have no desire of socializing with anybody outside of the office. I'm just trying to help somebody. Number five, you're feeling physically sick. If you don't think that burnout will make you sick, then you're sadly mistaken. Well, Pastor, I got to work. Right, but do something different. Change your motive. Change your attitude. Change what you do when you get off work. There are 24 hours in the day. Amen? You may have to change some things. Well, I'm going to change some things. That's why I can't come to church. Coming to church and being in the house of God ought to put in you, not take out of you. You need that. You always feel exhausted. You always have headaches, feel tension in all your muscles, and are having trouble sleeping. Let me underline that because I've been there before. I've been there before. Amen. Physical signs are common indicators of job stress and demonstrate, here's what the website said, that demonstrate that this can turn into a physical problem. If you're experiencing these symptoms, it may be time to make some changes. But isn't it interesting that we often feel so unchallenged in our lives that there is some higher noble purpose that eludes us, yet the same time we feel absolutely overwhelmed by the challenges in our life? Does that make sense? What do you mean? Well, I just don't feel challenged, but I'm overwhelmed. Did you get that? I just don't feel challenged, but I'm overwhelmed. Well, you can't be overwhelmed and not feel challenged. What you may have to do is feel challenged to get ahead or to get on top of what's been overwhelming you. And you do that with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is not something that we come to church and worship and leave him here when we leave the building. He goes home with you. He goes to the work with you. And he will help you in the time of your trouble. He will help you when you don't need help. He'll still help you. He is there. Maybe we just have not completely accepted the right set of challenges. Well, am I helping anybody? I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to get you to move up and not give in. I'm trying to get you to not throw in the towel. Maybe you need a new set of challenges. Maybe you're not having accepted the right set of challenges. Maybe they have not eluded us, but maybe we've tried to elude them. How many times have I heard this? Well, Pastor, I just can't do anything at the church because I'm just so overwhelmed. Maybe it's not the right challenge. You know what? Do you know what one of the things that releases stress on me is preaching? You know what releases stress on me? Worshiping. That's why I worship the way I worship, man. It's a stress reliever. Sometimes if you'll notice, I'll close my eyes and I kind of get lost because I forget y'all here. Because it's just me and Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our life and our ministry are not out yonder somewhere. They are right here, right now. See, everybody goes and talks about, well, when I get to this point, I'm going to have a ministry. No, you got a ministry now. Well, now I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. But you might not be seeing it as a ministry because you're so overwhelmed. We can become deceived to believe that if we just strain and try harder, that we'll finally find what it is that fulfills us. But it is not a what it is that fulfills us. It is a who it is that fulfills us. Maybe you're trying to put your trust and your confidence and your accomplishments in a it instead of a who. If you will put your accomplishments or your fulfillment in him, it doesn't matter who you do or what you do, you will be fulfilled because he is in you. All right? God can only be experienced in the present moment. Well, boy, we're going to experience God now. His peace now. His presence now. If we always yearn for something beyond us, it will always be beyond us. I thank God for what God's going to do. I thank God for what he has done. But I'm thanking him for what he is doing. I thank God for what I felt, what I will feel, but thank you for what I feel now. The secret is to experience God in the middle of what you might call mundane. You know, we don't think God can speak to us unless we're, you know, unless we're fasting and praying. God can't speak to us unless we're in the house of God. Man, God can speak to you right in the middle of your routine. He can speak to you right in the middle of your mundane. He can speak to you right in the middle of your mess. That is where you will find him, is in the middle of wherever you are. You will find him in the midst of it. Man, I'm telling you, the Lord spoke a word to me just a few weeks ago. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, most of you know, I do this jogging thing, which is a jog and a walk, and I hate it. I hate it with a passion. All the runners keep telling me, you'll get used to it. You'll start loving it. I've been doing it 3 years. I hate every time I get out there and do it. People have told me, well, if you ever get the runners, you ever get the runners high. Shut up. I ain't ever got no runners high. I get high because I can't breathe. That's why. Get pains in my chest because I can't breathe. That's why. I need some oxygen. Only way I'm going to get a runner's high is run somewhere and get something to get high. But it ain't going to happen. But anyway. I don't know. I ain't tried running down to the donut store and getting a donut. I may try that next. But man, the Lord spoke to me right in the middle of the mundane. I mean, I'm jogging. You know, I'm doing the best I can. You know, and I'm praying. I always pray when I jog. One thing, Lord, don't let me have a heart attack. Good Lord, Lord, let me get through this thing. And I don't know how y'all are, but I hate it because it takes time. I ain't got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, if I wished I could do it in like, you know, if I could do 3 miles in like 15 minutes, that'd be good. But that ain't happening. Takes me a lot longer, about an hour. Not quite that long. But anyway, but I was running and the Lord spoke to me right in my mundane. And I just went, whoo. I stopped running. I was wondering if people, car was going to stop, start stopping. I was like, oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Glory. Man, I run a little longer. Right in my mundane, the Lord stopped me. The Lord spoke to me. There would never be the extraordinary if there was not the ordinary. Be faithful in the ordinary and let God do the extraordinary. Does that make sense? All right, last thing. Another reason. Intense, stormy season. Now, y'all don't know nothing about that. Those are just designed for other people in church, not you. How many of you ever believe that that's all you do is have a stormy season? You ain't even got to check the forecast. What's in the forecast? Storm. What's in the forecast? Big waves. What's in the forecast? Same as yesterday. Right? Paul, you know, remember the last, the 3 or 4 or 5 days that we had when it was just, man, rain? And that's all, it was just rain. You know, you think every day is that way. Oh, good Lord. I got up, I got excited when I saw the rain. Like, whoo, I can't jump today. But Paul understood that he was not to lose heart because God could always shift things for him. My God, somebody hear me. He witnessed it many times. He also had some glorious experiences and seasons with the people of Corinth. Let me say this to you. The only people who have ever experienced a miracle are those who needed it. Now let me give you this. I would much rather line up behind the door of blessing than the door of miracles. Because the door of blessing is God doing something through you. The door of miracles is God doing something for you. And everybody needs manna from time to time, but it's for a season. And the problem with so many of us is we get used to that miracle and not doing what we know we ought to do. Amen? All right. Understanding times and seasons help us to know and hope that things will change just like seasons do. Seasons change. And how many knows that season's not going to change just because it's on the calendar? It ain't going to change until that season has accomplished that which it came to do. So your season is not going to change just because you're sick of that season. It's going to change when you realize what it is that the season came to do in your life. God created seasons in the natural, but there are also seasons in our lives. Some seasons are, some of those can be very stormy seasons. But don't give up, because God didn't call you to live there all of your life. He called you to go through it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not going to camp out there. I'm not going to make my residence there. I'm going to go through there because God called me to come through it, not to stay there. All right? Some of those are very stormy seasons. Remember these warriors of God who went through stormy seasons. Elijah wanted to die shortly after a great day of miracles. Psalms, many of the Psalms depict David's struggle. Moses, which was read earlier in this message, he wanted to give up. But here's the bottom line. Come on back and help me close. Don't give up because you're in a storm. Seasons change. And yours will too. See, what the devil wants you to think is that this is your lot in life. I'm gonna try to get this out. And I've shared this before. But if you believe that stuff just happens, and you have no control. And I understand there are some things we have no control over. But you always have control over how you're going to react to the stuff that happens. But if you believe that you are in the condition only because of what has happened to you, then it takes the responsibility off of you. And then all you can do is wait for something else to happen to get you out of what happened to you. But if we take self-responsibility and say, I am in this situation because of what happened, but because of some of my own choices, then that puts some things in my hands that I can say, if I'm in this situation because of some of my choices, then I can make some other choices to help get me out of the situation that I'm in. Right? And then it puts it on you. And when God leads you, directs you, and guides you, then you make stuff happen to get out of it. Does that make sense? Don't give up. God wants to give you liberation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. God wants to give you transformation. Paul understood he was in a process of being changed and transformed from glory to glory. We become like that which we focus on. Man, listen, I'm trying to quit. I read a story one time, and I wished I could recall the whole thing, but let me give you the gist. They used to call them skywalkers because they built those big buildings in cities, and they would walk on that red iron. And one guy had his son to be trained by one of the best walkers. And here's what the guy said. The walker, this great skywalker, and it wasn't Han Solo, he said, how do you get so far out there without falling? He said, I'm not looking at where I am. I'm looking at where I'm headed. And my God, if I could leave something with you tonight, I don't care where you are. Where you are is not where you're going to be. It might take a minute. It might take an hour. It might take a week. It might take a year. But I'm not looking at where I am. I'm looking at where I'm headed. I'm looking at where I'm going. Bless God, it might be bad here, but I know I'm headed to a better place. Why? Because God leading me and directing me and guiding me. And I know that He's leading me to greater victory. He's leading me to greater glory. He's leading me to be an overcomer. And so I'm looking to where He's leading me to go. You know, Rodney has done a fine job, and Brother Cash and Steve and some of the others, Israel, where if you haven't noticed, if you walked in and you can't see, we've been painting the foyer. I say we. I helped them put the scaffolding up, but they've been doing it. But when I was up on the scaffolding, it's 30 feet. When I was up on the scaffolding, if you look down, it's like, whoo, Lord. And when I was up there, I was on the top with PJ. It's a big old boy. I mean, it ain't but like, you know, it's only like twice him and he could be on the floor. He's so tall. But me, I was like, Lord. But you know what? I was fine as long as I looked up. When I looked up, I didn't feel the swaying as much. You know, thanks to John, we got Rodney had been up there, and we got Rodney a safety harness and lanyards because we want to be safe. And I love Rodney. I want him to be here. And so we got him those. And he never failed. But here's what he said. Knowing that I was latched in. Are you listening to me? Knowing that I was latched in, knowing that I had the safety harness on, made me feel more steady in what I was doing. I come by to tell you that Jesus wants to come by and be your safety. He wants you to latch in. Latch into Him. Latch into Him. Don't give up. Latch into Jesus. Don't throw in the towel. Latch in Him. Don't let these areas of pressure cause you to give up. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Spirit Life Team, come on, help me. Hey, hey, hey. Now, I want you to look at me for a moment. There is no shame. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I ain't going to have you to close your eyes. If you've ever thought about just throwing in the towel on life, throwing on the towel on God, come on, just lift up your hand. Throwing in the towel on your marriage, everybody can lift your hand. Come on, somebody. You're throwing in the towel. If you ever thought about just throwing it in the towel, come on, lift your hand if you ever thought about it. Almost everybody. Almost everybody. If you're there right now, whatever it might be, marriage, job, Jesus, life, whatever it is, I want you to step out of your seat. Come on up here and let's pray with you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.